This morning, we reflect on a past sermon called The Spirituality of Baseball. The intention today is drawn from that sermon given 18 years ago on July 15th, 2007 by Brent Wilkes, whose words on passion, play, and community still inspire me. Brent and his wife, Linda Wilkes, were wonderful people with Boston accents, many friends and interests, very engaged in this church committee and board work, strong advocates for planning our congregation's growth into a new building. Linda was active with Albany Pro Musica. Brent was on the board of Cafe Lena, and throw in, Brent ran for mayor too. A little bit of background about my preparing this sermon this morning. When I inquired about repeating some memorable sermons from the past while our congregation looks for a new interim minister, I thought I would be able to easily find and repeat Brent's 2007 sermon. However, things got a bit more challenging for me this summer. While Alan Bartenhagen found the order of service from July 2007, he also shared that the recordings of our UU sermons did not start until September of that year. And deep dives into historical documents in boxes downstairs during the move-out planning activities this summer, outreach to Linda Wilkes and Chris Cuss did not surface Brent's written sermon script. The funny thing, however, about my journey is that Brent Wilkes coincidentally wrote and published his own autobiography in 2015. It's called The Path Taken, and Murray Penny shared this book with me. In the back of the book, there are appendices. I mean, this guy is amazing. Including another sermon that Brent shared with the UU Church of Reading, Massachusetts, 2 years earlier in October of 2005. That sermon is called The Spirituality of Sports. So I have had the challenge and the fun this summer to recollect my impression of Brent, consider additional resources and my personal experiences, and update this sermon with my own tone and style. While I do like stand-up comedy, there is no way I could pretend to deliver the same intelligence, the knowledge, and the humor that Brent did. What I can do is blend time and tone and update that spirituality of sports message this morning, as it's alive for us today, as it was then. The gift of play. My son Sean, who's now almost 30, when he was a teenager in the car, once asked me what the most important change of my youth was. And I immediately answered, I don't know how I did this. I told him it was Title IX, which gave girls equal opportunities in sports. It just came out of my mouth. I don't know. That change opened doors for countless young people like myself, a girl with three athletic brothers, to find passion and purpose in the backyard, on a playing field, in an arena, or a sports facility. Just this week, while biking in the Adirondacks, I noticed students already preparing for fall sports. Soccer and football practices were underway, reminding me that the rhythm of the year itself is marked by the seasons of play. Basketball, baseball, dodgeball, field hockey, kickball, rowing, golf, running, swimming, softball, tennis, sports surround us. Why do sports matter so much? Why can tens of thousands at Fenway or Yankee Stadium erupt in joy over a home run? Why do millions at home leap from their couches when the ball clears the fence? A three-point basket scored by Caitlin Clark, or Michael Phelps earns another gold medal in swimming? Why do we invest so much time, money, and hope into games? Because sports stir something deep within us, passion. In the 1955 Broadway musical, Damn Yankees, there's a famous scene where the coach says, "This game of baseball is only half skill. The other half is something else, something bigger. You gotta have heart." It's not just the physical exercise. It's not the scenery, though that can help. It's not the intellectual stimulation. Sports awaken passion, joy, and resilience. Sports remind us of what we can do, and sometimes what we never imagined possible. A friend of mine recently lost a senior ladies' Ballston Spa golf tournament by one shot. After years of practice, coaching golf students to learn how to hit a little ball around the grass for a few hours a week, serious golf tournaments herself, and retelling that tournament story, highlighting her desire to gain the winner's parking spot, she smiled and concluded, "It was fun." Isn't that the lesson we heard today in the children's story, Sally the Sore Loser, performed by Marigold and Juniper? To have fun? Scoring a goal, hitting a home run, completing a 5K walk or race at Pitney Meadows yesterday, playing pickleball, watching Wimbledon or the Tour de France, or simply watching our children strive on the field moves us to wonder. When Natalie ran hard, scored a soccer goal, or displayed good sportsmanship when winning or losing to Shenandoah's tough competition, I would feel, "Wow, my daughter did that," or "That player did that." "Wow, we or our favorite team did that." "I did that." Whether as players or spectators, passion ignites the spirit. And here's the paradox. This passion grows in part because the stakes are low. Outside of professional sport arenas, sports are leisure, freedom from work and obligation, because the outcome does not define our survival. Didn't we hear that in the story? We are free to be present, to laugh, to hope, to fail, to try to play again. Brent Wilkes, in his past sermon and in numerous YouTube videos you can readily watch on your own, are inspired from a book called Take Time for Paradise, or A Great and Glorious Game, written by a giant of a man, A. Bartlett Giamatti. Bart Giamatti was a Renaissance scholar and later president of Yale University, combining his academic accomplishments with his passion for sports. He later became the president of the National League of Baseball and finally the commissioner of Major League Baseball in 1989. Sadly, his tenure in that, his dream job, was cut short by his untimely death after only 5 months as commissioner. Giamatti reminds us that leisure is not wasted time. It's sacred time. Time free from consequence. Time that lifts the spirit. Sports as a form of leisure are communal and ordered. They follow rules, involve teams, and bring joy in striving together. At their best, they call us towards community, hope, and transcendence. If you're interested in a humorous, joyful, edge-of-your-seat reading by Giamatti, listen to the YouTube video audio called The Green Fields of the Mind. It's awesome. Several of the quotes highlighted from these readings are, the game was a contrary reality. Worries of yesterday and tomorrow are gone. Hope, the anchor, bites and takes hold. Come on, team. Bring change on. Slight and fragile circumstances to break the human heart. Oh, I didn't get it. Primitive patterns and cycles. Here we go again. Some pattern of illusion to make this game last forever. And a state of being that is a game in a green field in the sun. The quest for perfection. We long for something more. Every batter dreams of a home run. Every pitcher hopes for a perfect game. Every golfer imagines that hole in one. Every Olympian seeks the gold. Perfection is fleeting, but the striving itself lifts us up towards transcendence. The spirituality of sports is this: we glimpse paradise. Susan Sarandon's famous line as Annie Savoy in the 1989 romantic sports movie Bull Durham still resonates. I believe in the Church of Baseball. I've tried all the major religions and most of the minor ones. I've worshiped Buddha, Allah, Brahma, Vishnu, Siva, trees, mushrooms, and Isadora Duncan. I know things. For instance, there are 108 beads in a Catholic rosary, and there's 108 stitches in a baseball. When I heard that, I gave Jesus a chance. But it just didn't work out between us. The Lord laid too much guilt on me. I prefer metaphysics to theology. You see, there's no guilt in baseball. I've tried them all, I really have, and baseball's never boring. And the only church that truly feeds my soul day in and day out is the Church of Baseball. Of course we know baseball is not truly a church, but there is truth in her playful exaggeration. The rhythm of games, the seasons of play, the hope that rises in each game, all echo something deeply human, our longing for joy, community, and renewal. However, let us not overlook there is a darker side to sports too. Injuries, cheating, anger, rejection, and even violence. Dispirited one winner versus one loser mentality. Jackie Robinson, recalling his first World Series, spoke of how the anthem played while he stood as a symbol of progress. Yet he still felt the weight of racism. A particular quote from his autobiography, I Never Had It Made, goes like this. As I write this 20 years later, I cannot stand and sing the anthem. I cannot salute the flag. I know that I'm a black man in a white world. In 1972, in 1947, at my birth in 1919, I know that I never had it made. Resurging to the forefront again decades later, in 2016, we're again reminded about racism in our society and the ability of sports to raise awareness of the dark side of humanity with the Bend the Knee protest, famously associated with former NFL player Colin Kaepernick. Sports can reveal our divisions as much as our unity. That is why it is vital to remember, sports are meant to be a leisure, a gift of freedom, not a burden. In closing, Lou Gehrig, facing the end of his career, stood before the crowd at Yankee Stadium in 1939 and declared, "Fans, For the past 2 weeks, you've been reading about a bad break I got, his diagnosis of Lou Gehrig's disease. Yet today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. I've been in ballparks for 17 years and have never received anything but kindness and encouragement from you fans. Look at these grand men. Which of you wouldn't consider it the highlight of his career to associate with them for even one day? What a powerful reminder. Even in hardship, he named gratitude. Even in loss, he found blessing. That too is the spirituality of sport. So, may we watch, play, cheer, and strive not only for victory, but for joy. May our passion be rooted not in fear or division, but in love and community. Notice that everyone has inherent worth in sports. Players, parents, coaches, managers, umpires, fans, administrators, and even the bus driver. And may the games we play, like the lives we live, draw us closer to the paradise we glimpse together. Rest in peace, Brent Wilkes. Amen.